Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to the Gospel of Mark and chapter 8 once again. And let me just remind you that just because we put the verses up on the screen, I want to encourage you that you still bring your Bible and you still check. Because if you don't check on what I put on that screen, I might just put something up there a little funny. You know? Not funny like ha ha, but I mean funny like, you know, that's not what the Bible says. And so I want you to help keep me honest, okay? Be like those Berean believers who listened to the preaching in Acts chapter 17 and verse number 11, and then they searched the scriptures to make sure that what the preacher said was what the scripture said. So you follow along in your Bible, even though we put this up here for folks who may be visiting, maybe they don't have a Bible or whatever, but for those of you who come week in, week out, you bring your Bible along and let's use it together and study together, look at it together, that we might learn the things that God would have us to know. Gospel of Mark and chapter 8, as we come to our text for today, it might be good for us to just very briefly review the events that have taken place. Things have been happening kind of fast, even though it's taken us a couple of weeks to go through it and to see it, yet really in chronological time it has moved along very quickly. Things have happened quite quickly. You remember as the chapter began in verse 1 to verse number 9, Jesus was in that Gentile area called Decapolis. That was on the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee, you remember, and it was there in Decapolis that after a period of preaching and teaching that he used 7 small loaves of bread, and he used a few small fish to feed a great multitude of people. 4,000 is the number that was given. But you remember we saw that great miracle. And then in verse 10 to verse number 13 of chapter 8. In verse 10 to verse 13 we saw how that the Lord, after departing from Decapolis, how that he crossed over the Sea of Galilee and he came to a place called Dalmanutha. That's located on the west banks of the Sea of Galilee. And you remember we saw that as soon as he arrived, we saw how the Pharisees then began to attack him. The Pharisees began to come and demand that he would do some miracle for them. We talked about it last week, you know, just one more miracle. Then we'll believe. Show us just one more sign, you remember. And of course the Lord Jesus would not give in to their demands. He would not entertain them with signs proving something that he had already proven on many occasions. Just because God speaks once doesn't mean that he will speak a second time. You better pay attention when God speaks. And so he refused to be caught up in that. And you remember Jesus declared that there was only one sign more that would be given to those people, and that would be his own death, burial, and resurrection from the dead. That was the sign that he would give. And then we saw in verse number 13 that he left them. He left them. That now brings us to where we left off the story last time. Back in verse number 13, it says, "And entering into the ship again, he departed to the other side." After departing from Dalmanutha on the western side of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus and his disciples set sail in a east-northeasterly direction, going to the city of Bethsaida. We find that in verse number 22 of the text. But he comes to a place near the city of Bethsaida, and as they were traveling on the Sea of Galilee between the west side and the eastern side, as they're traveling across the sea there, the disciples were troubled. They were troubled. And the reason why they were troubled is found, and it's explained for us, as we begin reading in verse number 14. The Bible says, "Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. Now you'll remember back in verse number 3, many of those people who had come to hear Jesus in Decapolis had traveled a far distance to hear Him. You remember that? They had been with the Lord for 3 days listening to His teaching, and then the Lord said, I can't send these folks home hungry because many of them have made a long journey, and if I send them home hungry, they may faint along the way. And so the Lord, you remember we saw that, and so therefore the Lord fed them, and as a result of the feeding, you remember there were 7 huge baskets. Baskets we saw large enough to hold a man. 7 huge baskets of leftovers were collected from that miraculous feeding. And from those 7 baskets that were collected, I believe that provisions were made so that those who had traveled long distance might be able to have some food to carry along with them. Not only were they fed at that moment, but they were given some food that they could carry along with them that would help to sustain them on their journey home. Remember we saw God is not only concerned about our spiritual needs. God is concerned about our physical needs as well. That was the difference, remember, between the feeding of the 5,000. That was totally spiritual. Feeding of the 4,000, that was totally physical. God is concerned about the whole man. He's concerned about your physical needs, and He's also concerned about your spiritual needs. He's concerned about all of you. All of you. And so because God was concerned not only about the spiritual need, but He was concerned about their physical needs as well, it's because of that great fact that the Lord made this statement. We find it in Luke chapter 12, verse 6 and verse number 7. He said, "Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God." Now think about that. Here's 2 little birds. And in the marketplace, they are worth next to nothing. They're cheap. They're worth next to nothing. And yet the Bible says that God is concerned about those little birds. He's concerned about those little birds. And Jesus went on to say, after making that statement, He said, "But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered." Now for some, that's not a big a chore. As it is for others. It's a lot easier now for me than it used to be. You know, I don't know where it's going, but it's going somewhere. It must be falling off the back. I don't know, but anyway, it's you know, and but here's the thing. God knows you so well, not just your spiritual need. He knows you physically so very well that even the very number of hairs on your head, which is constantly changing. Every time you comb your hair, right? You see all that stuff left in the brush. And God is keeping the tally, okay? God's keeping the tally. And then notice what He said. "Ye are of more value than those worthless little sparrows." Little sparrows that nobody pays any attention to, and yet I pay attention. And you are far more valuable than those little sparrows are. After traveling across the Sea of Galilee, having met the physical needs of the people there, there was a time of debating with the Pharisees, and we saw that last time. And then after that debate with the Pharisees, they got back into the boat, but the disciples had failed to restock their supplies. They had failed to take note of how much food they had available with them. And therefore, in the text, verse 14, as we've just read, there was only in their boat 1 loaf of bread. That's all they had. That's all they had. Now, if the disciples had learned anything from the feeding of the multitudes, If they had learned anything from the feeding of the multitudes, they should have learned that one loaf of bread in the hand of the master is more than enough to meet the needs that they might have. One loaf of bread was more than sufficient to take care of those 12 hungry mouths that were in that little boat. But we need to remember, as they're sailing along and the disciples are thinking to themselves, oh no, you know, we forgot to stop by the grocery store. We forgot to get bread. How much is it? Only one loaf? And they're thinking this to themselves, but you need to remember, Jesus knew what was going on in their hearts, didn't he? Just like the Lord knows what's going on in your heart right now this morning. He knows what's going on inside your mind. He knows what you're thinking about. He knows whether you're listening to what's being said or whether you're 1,000 miles away. Here physically, mentally, far departed, right? Lord knows that. He knows what's going on in our hearts. He knows what's going on in our mind. And He knew exactly what those disciples were thinking about. He knew exactly what was concerning them. And so therefore, Jesus, who is the master teacher, Jesus determined that He would use this opportunity to teach His disciples a very important lesson. He's going to teach them a very important lesson. As we look at the text this morning, there are three things that we want to notice together as we sort of have the privilege of eavesdropping, listening in on this conversation between the Lord Jesus and His disciples. I want you to notice, number one, the charge. The charge. In verse number 15, the Bible says concerning the Lord Jesus, and He charged them, the disciples, He charged them saying, take heed, beware, be careful. Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Leaven, as many of you will know, and especially you ladies who do cooking and baking and what have you, you will know that leaven is another word for yeast. And yeast or leaven is a bacterium that is actually used in the baking of bread. A little bit of that bacterium is taken, it is kneaded into the warm moisture of the dough, and as it is worked in, that bacterium then begins to respond to the environment. That bacterium begins to work and it begins to spread and it begins to grow. And as it is spreading, as it is growing, there's actually a chemical reaction that is going on. And it begins to produce a gas, which is what actually causes the dough to rise. And they work that and they work that in. Now the thing you need to remember that in the Bible, whenever you find leaven mentioned, and this is a very important point, but in the Bible, leaven is always a type of sin. In the Bible, leaven is always, it's always a type of sin. That is why, in the Old Testament, that is why when the Jews, right after they came out of the land of Egypt and had observed their Passover feast, which represents for us God's salvation, they were given a command in Exodus chapter 12, verse 15, that immediately following the Passover feast, there would be 7 days of what would be called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Feast of Unleavened Bread. During that 7-day period, the Jews were forbidden to eat any bread that had leaven in it. In fact, they were not even to have any leaven in their house during that 7-day period. That's why before this feast of Passover, this feast of unleavened bread came, they would, before that day, before the week began, they would actually go through sweeping their house and cleaning their house to make sure that there was absolutely no leaven in the house. Why? Because leaven is always a picture. It is a type of sin. It's a type of sin. In other words, the picture was simply that those who had been redeemed by the grace of God in the Passover, those who have been redeemed are now putting away their sinful actions, they're putting away their sinful attitudes in order that they might become a holy people before God. In this age in which we live, contrary to popular teaching and contrary to what you may hear in many churches today, God's desire has not changed. God's desire is that those whom He has redeemed through the precious blood of Christ, His desire is still that they be a holy people. We are not to be like the world. We're to be separated from the world. We are to put away those sinful things, and we are to be a holy people before God. That's God's desire. That's God's desire. That's why the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, verse number 7, the Apostle Paul said, "Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" In other words, it doesn't take a lot of really bad sins to destroy your life and your testimony. It only takes a little bit that you allow to come in, and you allow it to grow, and you allow it to do its work, and eventually that little sin, which seems so harmless in the beginning, will be something that totally controls and dominates your life. A little leaven. Leaven's the whole lump. And therefore, here was Paul's advice to the church at Corinth. Purge out. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. In other words, instead of being a lump that is filled with the leaven of sin and the leaven of the world, we are to be a new lump that is filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That's the desire. That's the desire. Now, with that as a background, we find that while His disciples were thinking about bread, right? That's what they're thinking about. Oh no, we've only got one loaf. They're thinking about bread. And while they were thinking about bread, Jesus determined to take the opportunity to speak to them about two types of spiritual leaven that are very dangerous. First of all, He spoke of the leaven of the Pharisees. In fact, He says, beware. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Now, let me tell you this morning that when it comes to the study of Scripture, one of the rules of interpretation is that we always do what, Brother Allen? We always interpret Scripture with Scripture. That's right. That's what we've been studying in School of Theology this past semester. Brother Allen's in my class. And you get an A for the day. I'm glad you remembered, or that would make me look really bad as a teacher. But anyway, the best way to understand the Bible is with the Bible. The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. And so when we come to the Scripture, we find out exactly what this leaven of the Pharisees is all about. Let's look at Luke chapter 12, verse number 1. In Luke chapter 12, verse number 1, the Bible says, He began to say unto His disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees. Now here's the commentary, here's the interpretation, here's what it means. What was He talking about? Which is hypocrisy. That's the leaven of the Pharisees. It is hypocrisy. We've seen this before. These Pharisees were religious men who acted outwardly very holy. They on the outside appeared to be men of great purity. And yet the truth of the matter is their hearts were full of pride. Their hearts were full of spiritual deadness. Their hearts were full of spiritual corruption. These Pharisees were men, you remember they were men who Jesus said they claim with their mouth that they love God, and yet the reality is their heart is what? It's far removed from God. But not only had the leaven of hypocrisy affected them personally, it had actually spread to the lives of those who were around them. See, that's what happens when you begin to let a little bit of leaven in your life. It doesn't just stay with you. It doesn't just stay with you. You let a little leaven in your life, and before long, what's going to happen is you're going to begin to have influence over others, and your leaven will then pass to them and then to others, and before long, you've got a mess. That's why Jesus said to those Pharisees, listen to it. He said, woe unto you, scribes. Matthew 23, verse 15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Jesus warned his disciples. He warned them about the danger of having a hypocritical heart. He warned them of the danger of being a hypocrite. Outwardly professing one thing and yet inwardly something totally different. That's something all of us have to struggle with. And if we're honest, we'll admit it. Because you see, it's very easy for us to become cold toward God. We become cold and indifferent to the Word of God. We become cold and indifferent to the house of God. We become cold and indifferent to things that are spiritual. We become more focused on physical things, material things, the pleasures of the world. And then we come to church. We have our little Bible carried at a 45-degree angle with the words KJV right there. And we come in with that happy little look. And we look so spiritual. It's just a game. It's just a facade. It's just a mask that we wear to cover the reality. That's a hypocrite, folks. That's a hypocrite. And that hypocrisy that we may allow in our own life, if we allow that hypocrisy to grow and to be unchecked, not only will it totally dominate us, it will begin to spread and infect our wives, our husbands, our children, our families, our friends. And it can destroy a whole church if it's not guarded against and if it's not purged out, as the Apostle Paul said. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. What's he talking about? Beware of hypocrisy. Not only did he talk about the leaven of the Pharisees, notice the second thing, he also talked about the leaven of Herod. The leaven of Herod. In a parallel passage that goes along with this, Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 6, this Herod of leaven is, or this leaven of Herod is actually referred to. I told you in Sunday school, this is one of those days. This leaven of Herod is actually referred to as something else, and it is referred to as the leaven of the Sadducees. The leaven of the Sadducees. You see, the Pharisees were the religious conservatives of their day. We would call them the fundamentalists. The Pharisees were the conservatives of this day, but the Sadducees were the liberal element. They were the crowd that rejected anything miraculous. They rejected all the miracles of the Old Testament. They rejected the idea of a resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see. Yes. But they were the liberal crowd. They were the liberal crowd. The Pharisees were very strict because they were such pure Jews in their thinking and in their actions. They hated Roman rule in their land. They hated the fact that a king that was not of the 12 tribes of Israel was sitting on their throne, and that he was a puppet of Rome. They despised that. But the Sadducees were the liberal crowd who actually joined in a partnership with those who supported King Herod. They were friends with the Herodians. Sadducees, Herodians, two different names, same club. Same club. In other words, just as Herod had compromised with Rome because he was covetous of Rome's favor and Rome's riches and Rome's power, the Sadducees were compromising with the world because they were covetous of material things. Again, it's very easy for us, is it not, to have that leaven working in our life. It's very easy for us to be just like those Sadducees, and that we began to become greedy and desirous of the things of the world, and in a very short time that leaven of covetousness begins to grow and grow until it takes complete control of our life, to the point that we totally lose our appetite for the things of God. We become so full of compromise with the world that we no longer have any desire for the spiritual things of God, and we lose our ability to even comprehend the things of God. We become so like the world in our thinking. That's the leaven of Herod. It's the leaven of the Sadducees. Compromise with the world. So Jesus warned his disciples. The leaven of hypocrisy, the leaven of compromise, beware of that. Beware of that. But then we see number two, the confusion. You need to understand this morning that the only way spiritual truth, listen very carefully, the only way spiritual truth can be communicated to the human heart is through the use of natural terms that are contained in human language. That's the only way we are ever going to get a hold of God's truth. That's why God wrote it down in words that we can read, words that we can understand, and He had it put in a book that we can carry with us. It's because spiritual truth is communicated through the normal avenue of language. And so therefore in our text we find that Jesus spoke of something spiritual, but He did it by using something natural. He talked about leaven. But because His disciples were not as spiritually minded as He should have been, those disciples foolishly interpreted the natural term in a natural way. They totally missed the spiritual meaning. And so therefore in verse 16, they're talking to themselves, "We forgot to get bread. We've only got one loaf." Jesus knows what they're thinking. He gives them some teaching. "Hey guys, beware. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware of the leaven of Herod." He's speaking of spiritual things. They totally missed it and they reasoned, verse 16 says, they reasoned among themselves saying, "It is because we have no bread." In fact, if you look at this in the original Greek, the first words of their statement are actually, "Uh-oh." No, I'm just kidding. It really doesn't say that. But you can almost imagine it, right? I mean, here, they're worried about bread. He begins to talk about leaven. And immediately they say, "Oh, brother, uh-oh. I know what he's saying." Yeah, he's not really going to make us feel bad, but it's kind of like you come around behind and slap you upside the head, and why did you idiots forget bread? That's what he's saying, and that's what they thought. So we see number three, the challenge. A couple of things I want us to notice here. First of all, the frustration. When Jesus dealt with the Pharisees, it was very clear they had no spiritual understanding. When He dealt with the Pharisees, it was very clear that their hearts were spiritually hard. They had spiritual eyes, but they could not see. They had spiritual ears, but they could not hear God's truth. It was very obvious, very evident. But I think the frustrating thing that we find here is that in that little boat going on their way across the Sea of Galilee, Jesus wasn't talking to the Pharisees. He was talking to His disciples. He's talking to men who had been following Him, they've been with Him, they've seen the miracles, they've heard the teaching, and yet even though, in spite of all the things they've seen and all the things they've heard, they are still acting just like Pharisees. That had to be frustrating for the Lord. Verse 17, verse 18, notice it, Jesus knew it. When Jesus knew it, He saith unto them, "Why reason ye because ye have no bread?" Why are you even thinking that? "Why reason ye that ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet?" You know what? Hasn't it dawned on you yet? Haven't you gotten clued in yet? Can't you perceive? Can't you understand? Have your heart yet hard? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? Having ears, hear ye not? And don't you remember? I mean, don't you remember? Can't you almost hear the frustration? And then there's the investigation. Letter B. Two additional points. Two additional questions. Notice it, first of all, in verse 19. "When I break the five loaves among the 5,000, Remember, the question was, don't you remember? Right? Now he's going to follow up. When I broke the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? Come on now, remember. Come on, think about it. And they answered, 12. Now the Bible doesn't tell us this, but I think the Lord said, very good. That's good. Yes, that's right. 12. You got that one right. Very good. Next question. Verse 20, and when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? Seven. Good. You get an A for the day. And then we come the exclamation. Letter C. The exclamation is actually in the form of another question. He said unto them, how is it? You've seen the miracles. You've heard the teaching. You can even remember the great provision that was made for the 5,000 and the leftover. And the provision made for the 4,000 and the leftover. You remember all of these things. You've seen these things. You've heard these things. How is it that you do not understand? Jesus was shocked that his disciples, after seeing his ability to provide for their physical needs, was still so focused on physical things that they were totally blinded to spiritual truth. You see, here's the root of the disciples' failure. While they could remember how that Jesus had provided for them in the past, they still were not totally convinced that he would faithfully provide for them in the present. Isn't that how we are? So many times we think back and we can see in our life, yes, I can see God did a wonderful thing here, and boy, he met my need here, and whoo, boy, he sure moved here, and we see how God has moved in our lives in the past, and how he's blessed, and how he's provided for us, and how he's taken care for us. And yet when we face a problem today, we say, ooh, boy, what am I going to do? And I can almost hear the question. I can almost hear the question, how is it you still don't understand? They should have understood. After all, Jesus had taught them very clearly in his Sermon on the Mount. The Lord Jesus had taught them very clearly, your heavenly Father will faithfully look out for those who look out for themselves. Right? No, who said right? No, that's not what he said. No, listen to what he said. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 and following, Jesus said, take no thought. Don't be concerned. Don't be filled with worry. Don't be filled with anxiety. Take no thought saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Why should we take no thought for those things? Well, here's the reason why. Because, for your Father, your heavenly Father, knoweth that ye have need of all those things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, what things? The necessities of life. Put God first, and all these things, God said, shall be provided for you. The leaven of hypocrisy, the leaven of compromise, still works in the lives of many people even today. The sad thing is that most people cannot see the leaven that is working in their life. They cannot understand that their minds have been blinded to spiritual things because of the compromise that is going on in their life. Because the physical things of the world have become their top priority, many people are going to reject Jesus Christ. And they're going to die without hope and without God. And they're going to spend eternity in a terrible place, a place of suffering, a place of torment, a place called hell. Sadder still is the fact that many believers, many of those who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, just like these disciples, will not experience the spiritual growth. They will not experience the spiritual development in their lives. They will not experience the great joys and blessings that God has for them simply because of the fact that they have allowed hypocrisy and compromise to rule in their life. May God help us to trust Him completely. Not only for the salvation of our soul, but for the direction, for the provision that we need. Putting Him in His rightful place. Making Him Lord of all of our life. Realizing that when we do that, then we have His wonderful promise that all of our needs He will most certainly and He will most faithfully provide. Question this morning: what are the priorities in your life? May God help us to have them right. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word.